Okay, well, good morning. I'm Leah, and I am presenting today on behalf of Dr. Stephanie Jolcott-Pitts and our other co-authors on the research we did on zoning to support farmers markets in rural and urban areas. This is research that I worked on when I was in graduate school, and the current study is one that we expanded upon to increase the number of counties we included, and I have no relationships to disclose. So as we all know, and while most of us are here today, is obesity is a major public health concern, and we see a disparity among the low-income, rural, and minority populations. These populations also have a disparity in having access to healthy foods, and this low access to healthy foods may be related to their obesity-related disparities. What we've learned is there is limited knowledge, especially in North Carolina, about how land use policies influence the food environment, and if these policies could support or hinder the development of farmers markets, and in turn support or hinder residents' attempts to eat healthily. So this is a study that was done in California about healthy food establishments and their permitted uses in zoning ordinances. So you can see in this study that they were less likely to be permitted in low-income areas. This is the focus of our study, and we use the same coding technique and audit to code the zoning ordinances in North Carolina. So since this research is limited in North Carolina, the purpose of our study was to examine the associations between county-level zoning to support farmers markets and various socioeconomic variables such as low poverty among 33 North Carolina counties. We also examined the individual level of associations between zoning and their self-reported fruit and vegetable consumption. So this project was timely because at the time the North Carolina Community Transformation Grant Project was going on, and there was a focus on farmers markets to enhance them and to increase the number of farmers markets. One of the strategic directions in that study was to include health considerations in the land use planning, and one of the strategies could be to modify zoning ordinances to increase permitted uses for farmers markets and other healthy food outlets. And the idea is that by having them allowed through zoning, it would create more markets and in turn greater access and hopefully a higher consumption of fruit and vegetables. Our study was approved and reviewed by the East Carolina University Review Board. So this is our study setting. So North Carolina was awarded funding through the CDC for the Community Transformation Grant Project for four strategic directions to improve health and to decrease health disparities. The focus of our study today includes three regions. So we had Region 9, which is the northeastern part of the state, Region 6 to represent the Piedmont, and Region 3 to represent the western part of the state. So for our study, we did internet searches to find zoning ordinances. We also contacted local planners to obtain zoning ordinances that were not available online, but we were unsuccessful in obtaining any additional ones. We took those ordinances and used the food policy audit by bridging the gap, and we coded those individually, and then the coders met to compare results and reach consensus on a final zoning score. This is a screenshot of the part of the audit that we used. I'm not going to go into much detail on how we scored them, but if anyone has any questions about that afterwards, I'm happy to go into detail. The items listed are the section of the audit that we actually use, and that's what we looked for, that language in the zoning policies. So we looked for farmers markets and their permitted uses in different zoning, such as commercial or residential or mixed use. We did make some modifications. This audit was developed in California, so we made modifications to make it more relatable to North Carolina and the rural atmosphere. So an example is how we changed the urban agriculture category to rural agriculture. And the way the scoring worked is that if you had a permitted use for a farmer's market in an area, you would receive a higher score. For our county-level variables of interest, we looked at rural and urban designation, and we did this in two ways, through the urban influence code and also through seeing the percentage of county populations that lived in rural environments. We also used the U.S. Census to find the percentage of African Americans and percentage of those living in poverty. For our individual level collection, we did random digit dial surveys. So we had trained interviewers that called landlines as well as cell phone lines at different times of the day. And we had surveys to be eligible. You had to be at least 18, the primary household shopper, and you had to be a resident of one of the county. Our response rate was low, but we were able to achieve our goal of 100 residents per county. And these counties were spread out throughout the three regions. We also, in that survey, did self-reported fruit and vegetable consumption. So we did this through the Block Fruit, Vegetable, and Fiber Screener. And we also used the Behavioral Risk Factor Surveillance System questions. For our county level analysis, we used the Pearson's Coalition Coefficient to see the association between the healthy food zoning scores and the percent of rural residents, African American residents, and those living below the poverty line. For our individual analysis, we use the healthy food zoning score as the exposure, and we use linear regression to examine the cross-sectional association between the score and fruit and vegetable consumption. We also did more analysis, but we didn't get into that in the presentation today, but you can find it in the paper. So as a result, we found there was a moderate inverse association between the healthy food zoning score and the urban influence code. So as the healthy food zoning score increased, which means there was more permitted uses for healthy food outlets, the urban zoning score was lower, and a lower urban zoning score represents a more urban or metropolitan area. So there was healthier zoning in those more urban areas. We also found an inverse association between healthy food zoning and percent poverty. So the higher the permitted uses for a healthy food establishment, the lower the poverty level was. And then for our individual analysis on the survey, majority of our respondents were white women who were college educated, the mean of about 55 years old. Our block information found about 3.7 fruits and vegetable servings per day, and our BRFSS data found the mean of 2.9 fruits and vegetables per day. And through that analysis, we found no association with the block data, but we did find a positive association between the healthy food zoning scores and fruit and vegetable consumption from the BRFSS data. So we found that if they lived in an area where the permitted uses were more conducive to healthy food outlets, there was an increased consumption in fruit and vegetables. So in summary, we found that there's more healthy food zoning in more urban areas compared to rural areas and areas that are of a more affluent. And we think that could be contributed to that these urban and affluent areas may have more resources and more of the means to include these in their zoning. And it may be more of a conversation and demand that the rural areas don't see. We also think that could be related to the same association between the score and the increase in fruit and vegetable consumption. That being said, there is still a lot of research that we need to do to determine how the built environment and the land use policies are affecting where farmers markets are established and how those farmers markets are affecting our consumption of fruit and vegetables and healthier behaviors. So we did have some limitations, and a lot of our counties were very rural, and some of them did not have zoning, and then some of them we were unable to access their zoning ordinances. And some of them, the zoning ordinance had not been updated in a very long time, so we're not even seeing some of this language. It was also, we had people coding, so there was subjective nature to the coding, but we tried to address that through having two coders and using a valid and reliable coding source. We did use self-reported data, and for our sample for the individual analysis, it was not representative of the demographics of the counties we were looking at, since most were college-educated white women. But we tried to address that through using random survey sampling technique. So overall, we do need to look into how land use policies can influence where things are established. From talking with farmers personally, zoning is not something on their radar, and if they wanted to open a stand, it may be something that they don't have the time to go into a zoning department and look into, and we could see more pop-up stands coming about if they didn't have this barrier of if they're allowed to sell fruits and vegetables in certain locations. In particular, we're seeing those locations in the food deserts and where we need those fruit and vegetables the most often. You can find our full paper online, and we'd like to acknowledge all of our authors, as well as East Carolina University Department of Public Health, the CDC, and the Community Transformation Grant Project. Thank you. any questions?
Leah, did you consider looking at, I know you did two levels of analysis. Mm-hmm. You did one looking at the quality of the zoning policies with area level measures at the county level and then at the individual level. Did you consider looking at area level proportion of people who ate a lot of fruits and vegetables, you know, just to kind of get the idea about that community norm about...
Well, that's what we tried to address through the surveys, but we don't think we had good representation because we're missing a big gap. The population that we need to address the most are where we were not getting the respondents from. So there are initiatives where they're doing farmers market surveys and they're going out and doing surveys that will helpfully contribute to this data moving forward.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.